Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our study of 1 Timothy has brought us to chapter 2 and to a controversy regarding the design of the atonement. And another way of putting that is the intended extent of the atonement. When Christ died on the cross, who was he dying for? Was he dying for the sins of everybody who ever lived? Which is the position that most people take because they think that's the only one that makes any sense, but really the more you study it, the more it becomes clear that it really doesn't make good sense, but it seems to upon the surface. And it seems to correspond with certain statements in the Bible that are assumed to support that statement, to support that position. And of course, the other position is that he died specifically for the elect. He died specifically to secure the salvation of those who would trust in him over the course of the centuries. And of course, he knew exactly who they were. He knew exactly who he was dying for. And the controversy usually centers on the word all or similar words, words like all or world or every, and what those words mean. And because a couple of statements come up in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that include the word all and seem to support a universal understanding of Christ's death, we are looking into that, and that's where we are on the broadcast. And the verses in question are primarily verses 4 and 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4 says, "Of God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." He desires all men to be saved. Doesn't all mean everybody in all the world without exception? And verse 6, "Of Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." And again, the question is, doesn't all there mean everybody in all the world without exception? And that's the question. And the way I'm trying to respond to that question is just to point out to you a few of the myriads of times in the New Testament when the word all doesn't mean everybody in all the world without exception. And I have tried to assure you that most of the time when the word all is used in reference to people, it doesn't mean everybody in all the world without exception. It means all of a more limited number, all of a particular group, but a group that represents way fewer, way less than everybody in all the world without exception. And if that's the way the word all is primarily used in the New Testament, then why, when it comes to these verses and others like it, does the word automatically and emphatically have to mean everybody in all the world without exception and no other possibility, as some people are convinced? And so I just ask you to track with me as we look at a few more of these texts. We certainly can't look at all of them. And I'm looking at one now in Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. And this has to do with John the Baptist and his ministry. And we read in verse 15, "Now as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not." When John's ministry was making a big splash and calling attention to itself in Israel, a lot of people were wondering if this was the Christ, if he was the promised Messiah. Obviously he wasn't, but a lot of people were wondering about that. And the way that group of people wondering about it are described in Luke 3:15 is with the word all. John answered, "Now all the people were in expectation, and all," A-L-L, "reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not." Now what does all mean in that verse? It's in reference to people. Does it mean everybody in all the world without exception? Obviously not. by far, the vast majority of people in the world had never heard of John. That's obviously so. Probably 98, 99% of all the people living in the world at that day had never heard of John. It's not talking about everybody in all the world without exception. Who's it talking about? Is it talking about everybody who had ever heard of John the Baptist? Maybe. That would come closer to what it means. It could possibly mean that, or it could mean just most of the people who'd heard about John. Using that word all in a rather loose sense, but the way we use it in our language today, we are not that precise with our use of the word all. And this is just describing a typical reaction, a typical response, a typical scene. John is ministering, he's having a powerful impact, and everybody, quote, is wondering whether he's the Christ. But, of course, everybody doesn't really mean every single person. It just means nearly everybody, lots of people, a great majority of the people who knew about John were wondering if he could be the Christ. That's the way the word all is used there. Well, let's move on to John chapter 3 and verse 26. And here's another example, just another example of the use of the word all. And I am not, I promise you, I'm not trying to select all of the texts that use the word all. No way I could do that. And this is the disciples of Jesus talking to him about the ministry. These are the disciples of John, rather, talking to him about the ministry of Jesus. And we read in John 3:26, "And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." The disciples of John went to John and basically said, "You baptized Jesus, and now everybody's going to him." They were reporting this. Well, question, what does all mean there? Does that mean everybody in all the world without exception? Obviously not. Does that mean everybody in all of Israel? Obviously not. Why not? Because these disciples are obviously an exception to that. Think it through. Verse 26, "And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." All are coming to him. Is that everybody who's going to Jesus? Everybody left John? Everybody went to Jesus? No. But a lot of people did. John used to have crowds flocking him and his ministry. And now the crowds are moving away from John and are going to Jesus. Does that mean that everybody has done that? No, these disciples hadn't. We don't really know how many had. All here does not mean all in an absolute sense. Certainly doesn't mean everybody in all the world without exception. Doesn't mean even all the people who formerly had listened to John, had attended the ministry of John. But it means a great many. And oftentimes, I promise you, just study it yourself, get a concordance and study it yourself. Don't take my word for it. But oftentimes, the word all in the Bible just means a whole lot, a great many. Lots and lots. And that's evidently what the word means here. Okay, just a couple of other examples. We can't take forever on this. I've already taken two or three broadcasts, and I probably will take another one after today. But let's look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 35. This is when Peter healed Aeneas, and then just before he raised Dorcas to life. We read, "And he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus, the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all," here's our word, "all, who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon, saw him and turned to the Lord." Does that mean that every individual, without exception, of these two cities believed in Christ, became followers of Christ, were saved? I don't think so. I don't think so. I can't prove it one way or another, but I suspect that that word all, again, means a whole lot, a great many. A lot of people, arrested by this miracle, turned to Christ. And that's described here in terms of all, A-L-L. All who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, that is Aeneas, after he was healed and turned to the Lord. Don't you see how the Bible uses it? And my point all along has been, we've got to let the Bible inform us as to what words mean, what definition to apply to particular vocabulary words that are used by the writers of Scripture, that are used by the Holy Spirit of God. We can't insist that the meaning of those words have to be what we think they should mean if it's clear from the way they're used in the Bible that they don't mean that. Certainly don't always mean that. In many cases, seldom mean that. We not only have to study the words, but we have to study how the words are used in other places to learn how the word may be used in this particular instance. That's always the way you study the Bible. Shall I say that again? You're looking at a word in a certain text. Back to 1 Timothy 2:4. God who desires all men to be saved, A-L-L. Or verse 6, Christ who gave himself a ransom for all, A-L-L. And you look at that word all and you say, that settles the debate. All means everybody in all the world without exception. Question, is that the way that the word all, A-L-L, is used consistently and uniformly throughout the New Testament? Or when that word is used in other places, does it have a meaning that is something considerably less than everybody in all the world without exception? Let's just study that question and find out. Let's just be honest. Let's be curious. Let's be noble Bereans. Let's search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. And one of the things we have to do, if we're trying to determine the meaning of a word in a particular text, is to see how that same word is used elsewhere in the Bible. And if elsewhere in the Bible it doesn't carry the meaning that we initially think it ought to mean, ought to carry, in that particular text, then we're going to have to conclude that it may not mean that here. It still may, but it certainly doesn't have to. It still may, can't rule it out entirely, if the word all is ever used in the Bible to mean everybody in all the world without exception, it could mean that here. But because it obviously doesn't mean that in myriads of instances, then it certainly doesn't have to mean that here. It may not mean that here. And we'll have to find another way to determine the exact meaning of the word. We'll have to take the various possibilities from how the word is used in other places. Here, it means all of a certain group or a certain class. Over here, it means a great many. Over here, it means everybody without exception. So these are different possibilities for what this word could mean in this particular text. And we take all the different examples from how the word is used elsewhere, and we list them, and we then go to work to figure out, of these different choices of what the word may mean, which is the intended meaning in this text, which is the meaning that was intended by the author Paul, which is the meaning, even more importantly, that was intended by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the ultimate author of Scripture. And that needs to be determined, but can only be determined after we know how that word is used elsewhere in the New Testament. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.